welcome to our virtual Sunday morning service here at the Pasco Community Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Brian Speroni, and I'm so glad that you are able to join us this morning for our church service. Before I go any further, though, let me take a moment to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms and grandmothers who are watching this morning. I hope you have a blessed day. I really, really do. Well, let's begin our service with a word of prayer. So let's bow together and look to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to gather by way of the internet. And Lord, although it's not the same as gathering in person, we thank you that you've given us this opportunity to gather this way. And we pray, Lord, that you bless our service this morning and meet with us in a very real way. Lord, we pray concerning this virus that has so many people sick in our country. We pray that you deliver us from it. We know that you can. We know there's nothing too hard for you to do. This morning we pray for the sick. Not only those that are sick with the COVID virus, but just sick in general. We pray that you touch them and heal them and raise them up. And then, Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones recently. We pray that you'd comfort and strengthen and minister to them. And today, Lord, we pray for the leaders of our country. We pray for our leaders to have wisdom and understanding as they make important decisions that affect each and every one of us. We pray, Lord, today for those that are in the medical profession who are caring for the sick. We pray that you protect them and watch over them and keep them healthy. And then, Lord, we pray for our military people that are serving in places all across the globe. Some are serving in some very dangerous places, and we pray you'd watch over them and protect them, and that you'd also provide for the needs of their family during their times of separation. We pray, Lord, for our country in general to turn back to you and to your word once again. We pray that maybe this time of home confinement will give us an opportunity to consider our spiritual welfare, and that we would turn our hearts back to you once again. We pray for our church family. Lord, how we miss gathering together as a church family. But I pray, Father, that you'd watch over each person in our church family. We pray that you'd protect them and bless them and keep them strong. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all during this difficult time to make sure we're centering our lives and our homes around you, because that's where the strength will come from to deal with anything that comes along. And then, Lord, this morning we remember our missionaries. We thank you for their willingness to go to places all across the globe to preach the gospel. And we pray you bless them and use them in mighty ways. We pray that as a result of their labors, many would come to know Christ in a personal way as Savior and Lord. And then once again, Lord, we ask you to bless our service this morning. I pray that everybody who's listening will receive something this morning that will encourage them and bless them and help them in their walk with you. And we certainly pray that if there's anybody listening who does not know Christ in a personal way, we pray that this morning they would see this to be their greatest need, and they would open up their heart and invite Christ in to be their Savior and Lord. And so once again, Lord, we come seeking your blessing. We ask you to work in our hearts through the ministry of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd be so kind, if you have your Bible handy, to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, because that's the passage we're going to be looking at in just a few moments. 2 Timothy chapter 1. But as you're turning there, we have something special for you this morning. Roger LaCroix, one of our church deacons, who is also our song leader and our choir director, is going to come and minister to us in music. So Roger, you come at this time.
Thank you. The Spirit showed to John a wondrous vision. From heaven's highest crown, a holy city did descend, with its crystal river and gates of pearl, and great celestial chambers. John saw it, but could scarcely comprehend it. This place, perfect peace, that's everlasting, where death is gone forever, and where no one will grow, and the sun is overshadowed by the Lamb and all his glory. Oh, what a vision of
struggle because of lack of love for my mom and dad, I always had a wonderful relationship with my mom, who is now in heaven, and I still have a great relationship with my dad. But I struggle because sentimentalism does not dictate the teachings of the Bible and what it says about the roles of mom and dad in life. And my problem is, I have a tendency to get really sentimental when it comes to talking about mom and dad. And I struggle to find a balance between biblical truth and honest emotion. And honestly, I always felt pretty bad about this struggle until I read the Mother's Day messages from other preachers and realized that what a preacher feels called to do and what is expected of him can be miles apart. For example, every Mother's Day sermon I've run across starts with an explanation. And this one is no exception. As ministers, we are reminded not to get too sentimental about motherhood, because for some, motherhood is an accident and not always a welcome one. For some, biological motherhood isn't possible. For some, mothers weren't all that nice. For some, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still less than a bed of roses and a primrose path. In the words of the poet Wilhelm Busch, he writes, "To become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so." So, without hesitation, I will tell you right here at the start that the role of mother is a tremendous responsibility as well as a divinely given task. And there are so many things that go into being a mother that I just don't understand. I remember watching my wife Pam when our first daughter Carly came along, and I was amazed at the things Pam knew to do and to check for. Most of the time, I just stood there scratching my head. Now, in preparation for this message, I asked the Lord to help me share a message for all moms and grandmoms and even moms-to-be that would be encouraging and helpful and challenging. And I was led to 2 Timothy chapter 1, where we see generational moms. That is, a grandmother, a mother, and a son who happens to be a young preacher. So if you've got your Bible open to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 7. It says, "I thank God," now of course the "I" there is the Apostle Paul, "I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee," the "thee" of course is Timothy, that's who he's writing to, "I have remembrance of thee in my prayers at night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." Being raised in a Christian home is a blessing beyond description. Because not only are you instructed in the ways and will and wants of God, but you are led by example. Timothy knew what it was to be led in the ways of God from both his mom and his grandmother. Now, in case you're not familiar with Timothy's family, Timothy's dad was a Greek, and there is no record in the Bible of him ever coming to faith in Christ. So the teaching of faith to Timothy fell to his mother and his grandmother. But exactly what was it that they taught him? Well, Paul is very clear in his answer. He calls it unfeigned faith. The word unfeigned means sincere, true, real, honest, and authentic. And even carries the thought of undisguised or apparent. It means that these two ladies follow the advice of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. They took seriously when Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 to 16, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Did you catch that? In the house, to the people that are in your house. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." These two ladies didn't hide their light under a bushel. Instead, they let it shine for all to see, especially to young Timothy. And that's the influence of a godly mom. And from our text this morning, let me give you five qualities of the type of faith that Lois and Eunice had. Number one, it was a faith that was seen. A faith that was seen. You know, kids, as well as adults, have computer processors in their head which record everything they see and hear. Paul certainly affirms this when he says in verse 5, "I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in me." To the Apostle Paul, Timothy must have exuded qualities that were not only convincing, but were memorable. And as we read in the text, Paul hints that Timothy developed this type of faith from his mom and his grandma. So everything Timothy was given spiritually was a result of Lois and Eunice kind of being Jesus or portraying Jesus by their words and actions to this young boy who would eventually become a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul in the work of the gospel. And this truth ought to serve as a wake-up call to moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers today. Because the reality is, there is a deep need existing today for young men and young women to see honest, genuine, and sincere faith in action. They need to see authentic faith. That is faith which controls every part of life. Faith which is not compartmentalized. That is faith that's not phony. Faith that's not hypocritical. They need to see a faith that is evident and apparent. You know, the old adage is true. Actions speak louder than words. Or even as the words spoken by Augustine. He said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." And on Mother's Day, when we honor motherhood, the greatest way we can honor this divinely given task is to fulfill the responsibility to show faith every day. And that's what Timothy did, because that's what his mother and his grandmother taught him to do. And in recalling their time together, Paul clearly remembered their sincere faith. Which leads to this question. When people recall the time they have spent with us, when they look back at it, what do they remember? Do they remember our faith? Does our faith come shining through when we gather together with other people? Are we following the teaching of Jesus to let our light so shine? That's the kind of faith that Eunice and Lois had. Faith that could be seen. Now, the second type of faith they had was a faith that was shared. And this is a truth which is taught in our text. The sincere faith that Timothy had was a faith that first lived in his mother and grandmother, which reveals this truth. Whatever a parent puts on the top of their priority list will make a huge impact in the life of their children. If we have faith just in ourselves, so will our children. If we have faith in our money, so will our children. If our priority is to accumulate things, or if our priority is the seeking of worldly pleasures, our children will see it. Wherever we place our faith, they'll know, and will very likely follow our example. But you see, the good news is the same thing is true when it comes to faith in the Lord. For the godly mom and grandmother in our text, their faith was alive and transferable. And don't miss the last part of verse 5, where Paul says, I am persuaded that in thee also. For a godly mom whose faith is active and clearly seen, it's a faith that sticks in the little lives of which she has charge. In fact, that's the kind of faith that is handed down. And what greater thing could we hand down to the next generation? What greater legacy could we leave behind? You know, in our sentimental culture, we hand down a great many things. In fact, we all have wills to hand down our earthly possessions. Yet the greatest thing we can hand down is a deep, living faith in Christ. It's a faith that stays with you, which is the result of parents following the advice of King Solomon in Proverbs 22:6, when he says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So Eunice and Lois had a faith that could be seen, and it was a faith that was shared. And then number three, it was a faith that was stirred. Look again with me at verses 5 and 6. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded unto thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Notice that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul tells Timothy to stir up the gift of God that is in him. The picture here is like that of a campfire or a charcoal grill. As a Boy Scout, we used to rub sticks and bang rocks together until the sparks flew. And then from the smoldering embers, we would fan a fire. It took action, motion, and deliberate effort. It's difficult to build a fire without matches and lighter fluid. And faith is the same way. It requires action, effort, and motion. That's why James tells us in James 1:22 to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Faith that lies dormant is just like an unattended fire. It will fizzle out. And so Timothy's mom and grandmother had fanned the flames of Timothy's faith. And now, out on his own, Paul is reminding Timothy to keep fanning the flame. Now, let's make a practical application here. When we trust Christ for salvation, he gives to us gifts which are in our spirit. These gifts come complete, but are not developed, much like the muscles in our body. As a baby, we have all the muscles we'll need, but they're totally undeveloped. And our spiritual gifts, like our muscles, are developed by use. And moms and dads are responsible to stir up the faith of their children to help them develop into healthy young men and women of faith. Now, some might be saying, but Pastor, I just can't do all that. It's too difficult. You're asking too much. Well, let me first of all just state that it's not me. And then next, let me clear this up. This is God not asking, but telling. I want you to consider what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. It says this. This is God speaking. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy money. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And then notice this. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You see, that is God's requirement when it comes to godly parents raising godly children. And here's the question that arises out of that. What is it that we talk about with our children? Do we just talk to them about sports and careers and mates and school? I mean, there's nothing wrong with talking about those things, as long as we make it clear that all those things take a back seat to faith in Christ, which should be the most important topic. We're to be talking about biblical truth in our homes consistently. That's how we stir up and fan the flames of our children's faith. That's what Eunice and Lois did. The influence of a godly mom gives a faith that is seen, that is shared, that is stirred up. And then number four, it's a faith that is strong. Now verse 7 speaks volumes to us. Look at it again. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. God does not give us the spirit of fear or fearfulness. This word gives us a picture of someone who is timid or afraid to live out their faith. Another meaning of the word is cowardice. Their fear literally freezes their faith into dormancy. And the result is that their faith becomes anemic and weak and lacks any real strength. And this is not the legacy of sincere, sound, and authentic faith. The child who inherits a sound faith from their parents is not afraid to let his faith live and be alive in him. You know, when I live and I'm alive, it involves action, direction, change, purpose, and even development. And when we have a healthy faith, we're not afraid because God gives us power, love, and a sound mind. That's talking about a sound judgment or wise discernment. You see, our power is the ability to impact. And our love is the ability to empathize. And our sound mind is the ability to discern and know what to do. People of faith are people who follow God at great personal cost. Their decisions are not driven by the popular vote. Their actions are not mandated by man. Their lives are not self-centered. Rather, they have the strength to stand for the Lord and to stand for what is right and true. And apparently, this is the kind of faith that Eunice and Lois had, and it's the type of faith that they passed on to Timothy. The godly mom and godly grandmother, and really godly parents and godly grandparents in general, are to give to their family a faith that is seen, that's shared, that's stirred up, and strong. And then finally, let me say this, it's a faith that saves. It's a faith that saves. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's this strong, saving faith that's the first step, the very first step to becoming godly. And this is something that Eunice and Lois taught Timothy. As we learn in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Eunice and Lois taught Timothy the scriptures to show him the importance of faith in Christ in order to be saved. And this saving faith is the first step which every parent is responsible to lead their child toward. As a matter of fact, it is the responsibility of every Christian, not just to lead their children to faith in Christ, but we're to be leading others as well. We're to be attempting to lead our other family members, and our neighbors, and our friends, and our co-workers, and our classmates. We're to be attempting to lead them to Christ as well. Christian moms and Christian dads and Christian grandparents and just Christians in general are to have a godly influence over others by their example and by sharing with them the gospel, the good news of Christ. And what is that good news? Well, it's the fact that Christ shed his blood and died on the cross for our sins. He took upon himself the penalty and punishment for sin that we deserve. Remember, it was not Jesus who deserved to hang on that cross that day. It was you and I. Out of love, he took our place and took the punishment that we deserve so that we could be forgiven. He paid the price for us. And then 3 days later, he rose again victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave so that we could have eternal life and a home in heaven. And the way that you receive those wonderful gifts of forgiveness and eternal life is by calling out to Christ and asking for them. In Romans 10:13, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you have never called on Christ in prayer and by faith received him as your Savior, why not do it right now? Why not right now bow your head and join me in a simple prayer of inviting Christ to be your Savior and Lord? Are you ready? Would you like to pray with me? Bow your head. Let's pray right now. Just pray right along with me. Lord, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. And I know I deserve the penalty for sin, which is hell. But I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and took the punishment for me so I could be forgiven. And I believe you rose again 3 days later so I could have eternal life and a home in heaven. I now turn from my sin and I invite you into my heart and life to be my Savior and Lord. I'm trusting in you and you alone for forgiveness and cleansing. I'm trusting in you and you alone for eternal life and an entrance into heaven. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for coming into my heart. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer along with me this morning, would you let me know? You can do that by simply posting on my Facebook page, because I just want to rejoice along with you in your newfound faith in Christ. And if you'll contact me with a mailing list, I'd be glad to mail you a free copy of our little pamphlet called Water for New Sprouts. It's a simple guide to help Christians get started in the right direction in their new walk with God. I'd love for you to have one. So if you can email me at brypams@juno.com, or you can write to me at Pasco Community Baptist Church, 111 Church Street, Pasco, Rhode Island, 02859, or you can just pick up the phone and give me a call, 401-568-4963. I would love to mail you one of these booklets free of charge if you'd like one. Now, before we close, I want to say, first of all, thank you to my daughter, Kirsty, who does this live streaming for us every week. We appreciate her help with that. Also want to say thanks to my son, Nate, who's been handling the sound system for us. And I also want to say, once again, thank you to Roger LaCroix for coming and ministering to us in song. It's been a blessing to have Roger with us this morning. Now, once we're done preaching here, and this service is over, it will then be posted on our church Facebook page, Or you can listen to an audio version of it on our church website, pcbcri.org. Just click on Sermons. Or it'll be posted on our church YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type in Passcode Community Baptist Church. Make sure you put Passcode, because there are a lot of Community Baptist churches. So type in Passcode Community Baptist Church, and it should take you right to the video. I don't know how much longer we're going to be meeting for church by way of the internet, but I'm pretty sure we'll be doing it again next week. So I hope you can join us again next Sunday at this same time, 10 o'clock, right here on my Facebook page for more preaching of the Word of God. But in the meantime, remember that faith is not to be hidden. Faith is something that is to be shared. So be like Eunice and Lois, and let others see Jesus in you.